So yeah, I went on a trip down to London a few weeks ago, and I think I'm cursed with train journeys because it just happens to me every time that the train ends up being delayed, or you know, there's always something. A train gets cancelled or it's delayed by a couple of hours. So last time, what it was, I was on the way back up. There was a line-side fire apparently. So. And you know how it is on the train, they don't really give you much information. All they say is there's a line-side fire, we're going to be stuck here indefinitely. So we're stuck there in Peterborough train station for, I don't know, nearly 2 hours. And everybody on the train kind of starts grumbling, don't they? And they say, oh, this is really unfair. Oh, this is the worst. Why does it always happen to me? And we were just kind of noticing how you always think about yourself and you don't think about the other people in the situation who are affected. You don't think about, you know, maybe some other trains are involved. Maybe there are people who are in some danger. Maybe some people have been hurt. Always when you're in that situation, your first instinct is, oh, this really messes up my day. This has really ruined everything for me. And that's kind of what we're going to be thinking a bit about today is how we're all kind of really me obsessed. We're all obsessed with ourselves. We live in a self-obsessed world. Everywhere you go, there's selfishness, people wanting to do their own thing, people looking out for number one. So today we're going to be continuing in the book of James, and this is kind of what he's talking about in today's passage. So it's James chapter 3, and it's verses 13 to 18. So James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. I'll just read it out now. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." Right, I'll just pray as we come to look at this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us, that you are not a God who is silent, but you are a God who has made yourself known to us. I just pray that this morning we would come before you with humble hearts, that we would look to see what it is that you're trying to teach us through this passage. I pray that we would have hearts that are open to change. I pray that you would soften our hearts, Lord, and speak to us this morning. Amen. So, James starts off by asking who the wise and understanding people are. He wants to know who it is who knows a thing or two. We've been working through the book, and what we've seen so far is that he said the people who have faith need to back that up with deeds. What he's saying here is that the people who have wisdom also need to back it up with what they're doing. So the people who know it also need to show it. They can't just kind of, there's no point in them just knowing a few things. They actually need to be living lives that are in line with the stuff that they know. James is writing in a time of persecution, so right at the start of the church, so nearly 2,000 years ago, he's the pastor of a church in Jerusalem, and there's all kinds of trouble and persecution going on, and James writes this letter all about trials and temptations and how to survive through tough times. And so what James is saying is, when you're in these tough times that he's in, it's not enough just to know a thing or two. You actually need to live it out. A few years ago, I went surfing with a bunch of friends, and I'd never done surfing before. I've not done it since. I'm pretty useless. My balance is bad enough. on dry land. So put me on a piece of wood in the middle of the sea, and I'm still pretty useless at balance. But a friend of mine who is a regular surfer, he loves doing it. So he was explaining to us, you know, how you go out, you paddle, and then you know how you put both hands on the board and you kneel, and then eventually you stand up. So he was explaining exactly what to do. And then another friend of mine said, "Oh yeah, no, I know all of that. I know how to surf." And I said, "Oh, have you surfed before?" And he said, "Oh no, I've not surfed before, but I know what to do. Like I've watched some tutorials on YouTube. I know what's going on. I've not actually done it before, but I know how to surf." Well, I think he quickly found out that knowing how to surf was quite different to actually surfing. There was a big difference between what he knew and what he actually did. See, he could know all kinds of things about surfing. He could know all kinds of different techniques for surfing, and he could know all about, you know, the right kind of waves to go out on and all that kind of stuff. But actually, if you don't put it into practice, that knowledge is completely useless. It's a complete waste of time having that knowledge if you then don't go and put it into practice. And that's exactly what James is saying about knowledge and about wisdom. He's saying, who's wise and understanding? Well, you need to show it. It's useless having wisdom and having understanding if you're not putting them to good use. Well, what is this wisdom that James is talking about here? What does he mean, wisdom? That could mean any number of things. Well, specifically what he's talking about here is a wisdom which leads to humility. At the end of verse 13, we see that he talks about the humility that comes from wisdom. If you've got a Bible and you just want to flick very quickly to the book of Job, Job chapter 28, verse 28, we see a really good definition that the Bible gives us of what wisdom and understanding are. Job chapter 28, verse 28 says, "The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding." So wisdom is all about fearing God, and understanding is all about putting evil away to one side. So in a way, you could say that wisdom is all about having faith in God, and understanding is about repenting, having a repentant heart. I don't want to linger on this too long, but when it says the fear of the Lord, that's talking about, that's not saying that you're scared of God and you run away and hide in a corner from him, but it's saying that you are aware of who God is. That's the way the Bible talks about an understanding of who God is and how he is so much bigger and greater than we are. So ultimately, wisdom is knowing who God is. It's having the right kind of perspective on the universe. So wisdom is saying that God is at the center of the universe. Wisdom is all about having the proper respect for God. So I hope that kind of makes sense, because that's important to what James is saying here. Wisdom, if wisdom is all about having God at the center, then inevitably that's going to make us humble. We're not going to put ourselves at the center of the universe as long as we put God at the center of the universe. So that's what wisdom is. And again, it's not just enough to know that we need to put God at the center of the universe. We actually need to do it. This isn't just a kind of a head knowledge thing. It isn't just enough for us to know, oh yeah, God is the most important thing. We actually need to be putting that into practice. Otherwise, it's useless knowledge. Next up, James goes on to talk about what happens if we aren't putting God first. If we're not putting God first, then we are inevitably putting ourselves first. He talks about people who have jealousy and selfishness in their hearts. So, what does he say to these people who are jealous and selfish? Well, firstly, he says, don't boast about it. He says, don't boast about it. And I was thinking about this week, and it just seemed a bit silly to me that people would boast about being jealous or being selfish. It just seems like a really strange thing to boast about. It would be like trying to tell people, oh yeah, I've got really smelly feet. Oh, it's great, you know. Nobody's got feet as smelly as me. Like it's a stupid thing to boast about. Being selfish isn't something that you boast about. Being a jealous person isn't something that you boast about. And yet actually, when you think about it, we often kind of boast about our jealousy or about our selfishness in a roundabout kind of way. So we might say something like, oh, I wish I had what they've got. And what we're actually saying is, oh, I'm really jealous. I'm a really jealous person of what they've got. Or, oh, it's all right for them. You know, they've got it all together. We're admitting our jealousy and we're saying, I want what they've got. We're selfish. We're not thinking about other people, but we're just consumed with what we want, and not with what God wants. So don't brag about being selfish or being jealous. But equally, and probably this is more likely going to be our response. Don't deny the truth. Don't hide it away. So if you've got jealousy and you've got selfishness in your heart, don't just pretend that it's not there, is what he's saying. I went to see Batman versus Superman film the other day. I won't ruin it for you like Chloe did for me. But it made me, because Batman always wears a mask when he's out fighting crime. So day to day, he's Bruce Wayne. He's not got a mask on. He can be himself. But then, when he puts on the mask, he's doing that to hide his true identity so that nobody knows who he really is. And I think that that's often kind of how we are. So we have selfishness in our hearts, but we can put on all these kind of masks to try and hide that. So there's all kinds of ways that you can do that. So, you know, you can, you're spending time with all these people, oh, you're giving lots of money to charity. All these different ways in which we can try and make it look like we're absolutely selfless, but the truth is, all we care about is ourselves, really, at the end of the day. So he gives us two warnings. One, don't brag about being selfish. And two, this is probably the one that we're more likely to fall into, I think. Don't hide your selfishness. Don't try and put it like under a mask. Don't hide your true identity. Instead, we should be honest, and we've got to admit that we're selfish, arrogant, jealous people. So let's be open and honest, but let's not boast about it. Let's just tell the truth as it is. Let's be honest that we don't put God first. So James then goes on to talk a little bit about where that wisdom comes from in verse 15, and then in verse 16 he'll talk a bit about where that wisdom, it's always kind of in inverted commas, where that wisdom will lead to. So what he says is that wisdom is not from God. He says, verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, which is another way of saying it's not from God, but it's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's even demonic. I think that we sometimes like to think that selfishness is a virtue in our society. So trying to be the best. Words like self-esteem, self-confidence, self-belief. It's all about us and trying to be the best you that you can be. That's what our society wants from us. But actually, that's not a godly way of thinking at all. That's not a biblical way of doing things. In fact, James tells us that that's a really earthly way of thinking, and it's actually much more like the devil than it is like God. You don't have to turn there just now, but I'm just going to read a bit from Isaiah chapter 14. So this is talking about the devil. Isaiah 14 verse 12, it says, "How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said," so the devil said in his heart, "I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. So we read in the Bible that the devil wanted to be greater than God. And actually, that's kind of what we're doing in our own lives, is that we all, each and every single one of us, we all want to be the God of our own universe, don't we? So in your own kind of perfect universe that you're trying to create, you're going to be happy all the time. Your family are going to want to do what you say all the time. You're going to have all the money that you want. Everybody's going to kind of look up to you and respect you all the time. They're going to tell you that you're great. What we want is we all want to be mini gods, don't we, of our own universe. We all want to put ourselves above where God is. And that's not a good godly desire, is it? That's earthly. James tells us that it's even demonic. It's more like the devil than it's like Jesus. But he goes on in verse 16. So verse 15, he says it's not just the root that's evil, but it's also the fruit then is also evil. So we see that this kind of wisdom of selfishness and jealousy is earthly, but actually it also leads to evil. So it causes evil, but it also causes evil, if that makes sense. Its cause is evil, and it also causes evil. So he says in verse 16, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and evil practice. So inevitably, every time we are jealous, every time we are selfish, that will lead to all kinds of chaos and all sorts of evil. And we see this pattern repeat throughout the Bible. We see jealous people, we see selfish people, people who are just out looking out for number one. Right at the start of the Bible, we see Adam and Eve. They are selfish. They want to have the power that God has. They want to have God's knowledge, don't they? So they sin, they eat the fruit that they shouldn't eat. And we see that sin and evil enter the world at that point. A few chapters later, we see that Cain is jealous of his brother, Abel. So he goes and kills him. In the story of the Tower of Babel, we read that the people wanted to make a name for themselves, is what it says. So they wanted to build this tower that will show how great they are, rather than how incredible God is. They wanted to do something to make themselves seem great. They were selfish. All throughout the Old Testament, we see that God's chosen people, Israel, we see that they're jealous of other countries. So they start worshipping idols that they shouldn't be worshipping. They start taking on gods that they shouldn't be taking up, that they shouldn't have for themselves. And the consequences of that are catastrophic. They end up, the country gets ripped apart, and they end up going into exile, and it's just a disaster. Even King David, we read that he is jealous of another man's wife, so he takes her for himself and has the other guy killed. We see it in the New Testament as well. We see that Judas was selfish. He wanted to make a quick bit of money. So he sold his best friend Jesus for a few silver coins. We read that the Pharisees and chief priests were jealous of Jesus. They were jealous of the crowds that he was attracting. They were jealous of the reputation that he had, of the respect that he had, so they had him killed. This is the pattern that we see throughout the Bible: human beings being selfish, being jealous of other people, just looking out for number one. And that's also the pattern that we see today. That's how human nature is all the time. All of us have jealousy and selfishness in our hearts. It's not something that comes from God. We've already looked at how it's evil, but it also causes evil. It leads to evil things. Now, verse 17, James goes back to talking about the wisdom that comes from God, the wisdom from heaven. And this is completely different to that earthly wisdom, which is all about selfishness, because this wisdom is all about God. We've already said at the start that this wisdom is all about putting God at the center of the universe. This is about having a proper perspective of the universe. This is about knowing who God is and fearing him in a correct way. So there's two ways that this wisdom is completely different to earthly wisdom. Firstly, the root is completely different. So this wisdom comes from God. Whereas the selfishness, the jealousy, whereas we've seen that that comes from ourselves, that's earthly. This wisdom, in verse 17, it says, the wisdom that comes from heaven. So this comes from God. This isn't something that we are able to create ourselves. It's only from God. But also, the effects that this kind of wisdom has is completely different. The fruit is totally different from the me, way of looking at the world. So first of all, he says it's pure. There's no mixed motives here with the wisdom from God. There's no kind of hidden agendas or manipulation. It's totally, totally pure. It's also peace-loving. This kind of seems a bit obvious, but if we're only concerned with ourselves, then we're going to end up in a lot of conflict, aren't we? If you have a family where everybody's just looking out for themselves, you're going to end up with a completely fractured household. The whole home is going to fall to pieces pretty soon. But if everybody is not looking out for themselves, if everybody's concerned with other people, then it's going to be a much more peaceful environment. And that's true on a small scale. It's also true on a much larger scale. This kind of wisdom is also considerate. So we'll start to consider other people's thoughts and feelings more than we just consider our own. And we won't just consider other people's thoughts and feelings, but we'll actually submit to others. It says that we will be submissive. So we will accept what others say and allow others to have their own way, even when that's different to what we want. We'll be merciful. It says full of mercy. So we'll be willing to let some things go. We'll be willing to let to forgive. So if I'm the king of my own universe, if I'm trying to be a mini god, and I don't know, Ricky's eating his food really loudly at lunch, then I'm going to tell him to be quiet because he's stopping me from having my way. He's kind of ruining my universe by munching really loudly. But if I have the wisdom from God, if I'm living a life of humility, then I will be able to forgive Ricky. I'll be able to let that go and let him eat his lunch as loudly as he wants, and I won't care. So we'll be merciful. Our lives will be full of good fruit. We see that this wisdom, this humility, is impartial. We won't play favorites with people. We won't have people that we go to because they make us happy, but we'll treat everybody equally. And lastly, it says that this kind of wisdom, this humility is sincere, it's genuine. If there's one thing that's true about selfish people, it's that they're all fake. There are lots and lots of selfish and fake people in the world. But if we are marked by humility, then we should be genuine, we should be sincere, we should be honest with people. Lastly, verse 18, I won't dwell on this long because I think I'm running out of time, but he says, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So we see that this isn't just something that has earthly consequences. This isn't just something that kind of will make your life a bit easier here and now, but there is actually a spiritual benefit to all of this, and that is righteousness, or even a harvest of righteousness. So that it's not just something that you see the benefit of now, but there is also a spiritual benefit. So, as we think about all of that, we think about the two kinds of wisdom. We think of the earthly wisdom of selfishness and jealousy and trying to get what I want out of the world. And we also think about the wisdom that comes from God, where God is at the center of the universe and my life is centered around God, And that leads to all of these things, to peace, to consideration, to being submissive, full of mercy. When we think about those two different types of wisdom, and we think about which category are we in, I'm guessing that the answer for most of us is probably most of the time is the category where we are at the center, that kind of me wisdom. So how do I move from that me wisdom to that God-centered wisdom? Well, a couple of suggestions that I have. Firstly, we see that this kind of wisdom comes from God. It's not something that we can just kind of create in ourselves. It's not something that we can just kind of teach ourselves or train ourselves in. Ultimately, we do need God's help in this. This is something that comes from God. So we need to ask God. We need to pray. We need to ask him to change our hearts, to soften our hearts, and to allow us to be humble before him. Not to put ourselves at the center, but to put God at the center of the universe. And the other suggestion that I have, we've already seen that wisdom is all about having a proper perspective of who God is. And if we have that proper perspective of who God is, that fear of the Lord, then that humility will come as a result of that. Well, how do we see who God is most clearly? Well, ultimately, we are able to see who God is in Jesus. So when we look at Jesus, that should give us a real perspective on the universe around us. When we look at Jesus, we see true humility. We fail in this all the time. In anything that you do, you're going to end up being selfish. You're going to end up being jealous of other people. That's inevitable. But in Jesus, we see somebody who is completely humble, who didn't have anything to prove, who didn't just want the best for himself. In fact, what we see in Jesus is the Lord of eternity, God himself, become a human being like us. And not a great human being, not some kind of spectacular person who everybody looks up to and adores. Somebody who was born in humble circumstances, somebody who lived their early years on the run. They were a refugee in another country. We see somebody who worked as a carpenter, just a humble profession for many years. We see somebody who taught, who didn't have a home of his own. We see somebody in Jesus who is completely humble, somebody who is willing to wash his disciples' feet rather than have his own glory. He had opportunities to become an earthly king, opportunities for great riches, for great power, but instead he chose the cross. He chose to give up his own life. He chose to give up what he had so that we could have what he has. He gave up his eternal glory to die an earthly death. And because of that, we are able to come before the Lord today. We are able to know Jesus for ourselves because of who he is, because of what he's done. I'm just gonna pray now to close. And if you'd like to pray with me, that'd be great. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even though we are selfish people, even though we are constantly jealous of others, even though we are always looking out for ourselves, even though we want to be our own gods of the universe, Lord, you still love us, Lord. And Father, you would be completely justified just to kill us for as we are, Lord, just to be done with us, just to put us away to one side, Lord. But instead, you love us. You have sought us out, Lord. You have sent your Son Jesus to earth to live and to die and to rise again for us, Lord. I thank you for Jesus' incredible humility, that he is not that he was not selfish, but that he was concerned with others, that he was concerned with us, Lord, and that he would go through incredible pain and suffering on our behalf. We thank you that because of that, we are able to know you for ourselves. We are able to be called your children, not because of our own selflessness, not because of our own humility, but only because of his. Father, I thank you, for the goodness of Jesus and that we can have that for ourselves. I pray that this week we would not be people who try and put ourselves at the middle of everything that goes on, Lord, but that we would look out for one another, but ultimately that we would put you at the center of everything, Lord, that we would have a proper perspective of the universe, that we wouldn't have that earthly wisdom which is all about ourselves. But yeah, Lord, that we would seek to glorify you in everything we do. Amen.